You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome to Every Voice Matters, coming to you today from Broomfield, Colorado. And I am really excited to have our guest here today, Dr. Joel Lindman, who is a chiropractor and, full disclosure, is my chiropractor. So I've been seeing him for a couple of years, and he's really made a difference for me and in my lower back. You know, we're also going to be able to get to see him do an adjustment today and show you what that's like. He's coming to us from his office here in Broomfield, Colorado as well. And I also want to mention that he has a book called Purposely Positive, which you can find on Amazon. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And so we know that you're a chiropractor. We mm-hmm. now also know that you're an author.
Yes.
Can you just share a little bit about how that piece of your life came to be in writing sure. this book?
Yeah, so it's kind of a long, short piece, but okay. When I was in high school, I loved to write. My friends used to call me Doogie from like they compared me to Doogie Howser because I would keep a journal. And when I got to college, my first goal in college was actually to become a journalist. So that was my first major. And then when I got into journalism, I didn't really like some of the stuff they wanted me to write about. I was more a creative writer, so I kind of switched into kinesiology, sports medicine, and I loved that, and that's where I really found this career. But it's something I've always liked to do, and so I read a lot of business books and what could be titled self-help, I guess. I don't love that term, but, you know, it is success-type books, and it's just something I've always wanted to do, and so I made a goal for myself to write it, and one day I finally sat down and started doing it. It took about year and a half to go from beginning to publishing, but it was something, and I'm working on a second one. We'll see I don't have a time limit on this one, so we'll see
what happens. But
it's just something I've always wanted to do. I like to read inspiring things, and so I just want to inspire others. I actually started a website called Dissemination of Inspiration because I think that's part of what I'm supposed to do is inspire others to live a happier life. So,
well, you do. You'll have to make sure that you share with us that website, you know, at the end when we give out all your contact information. And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about your journey of coming from Virginia, which is where you were born, mm-hmm. into Colorado, and then back out again to Kansas for education, and then back into Colorado. And how it is that you and your family have settled here and what brought you into chiropractic work.
Okay, sure. So I was born in Virginia, but I moved when I was two. So I don't remember a whole lot about it. I lived in Littleton and then Centennial. Well, it used to be Aurora. Now it's Centennial, you know, when they split apart. And then undergraduate school was in Greeley for, like I said, sports medicine in the long run. I met my wife there. The funny story about that, she was actually in sports medicine and she was switching to an English major, and we had one class together, which was chemistry class, and it was a 3-hour long lab class, and that's how we met, honestly. So and then we got married in 2000 and we moved to Kansas City. We got married, went on our honeymoon, moved to Kansas City for chiropractic school all within about 3 weeks.
Wow.
So moved out to school, and the reason that I went to chiropractic school, my undergrad in sports medicine, I had to do an internship. And a lot of people were doing internships at like personal training and things like that, which I am a certified personal trainer, but that came later. I did an internship at Children's Hospital because I was always interested in the human body. And I actually thought maybe I'd go into medicine. And I worked in the orthopedics department. So I got to scrub in for surgeries, which was really fascinating. And I helped cast kids and helped position them for x-rays and things. And I actually had migraines during that time. Actually, since high school, I had some migraines playing soccer, and they kind of started with soccer and football. And I would just deal with them, you know, medicine and things, and got really bad in college. And I started, while I was working at the internship, I had bad migraines, and they actually sent me for an MRI. They thought maybe I had something, you know, up here, not great, because my pupils would change sizes.
So they were afraid
that there was a space occupying lesion. Nothing came of that, thank goodness. But I started going to a chiropractor, and my migraines went away. And so I kind of totally did a 180 and said, I'm just going to do what he does, and kind of divine intervention. Right about a week or two later after I started considering that, we had some people from chiropractic school in Kansas City, Cleveland Chiropractic College, came out and spoke to our kinesiology students, and it just resonated with me. It just made sense because I always wanted to help people, and I wanted to be as least invasive as possible. You know, so surgery is wonderful. I've had quite a few when needed, you know, unfortunately for sporting injuries. Okay. Yeah. But I want that to be the last line. You know, you don't, I would like that to be the very last thing you have to do is surgery.
Right. I agree.
And so I just really, you know, started. And also I went to chiropractic school. I was probably one of the only students in my class that had only been to a chiropractor a handful of times and was not related to a chiropractor. It's a very familial thing. Yeah. It's getting bigger now, but for a long time, it was if you were a chiropractic student, your uncle, your dad, your mom, somebody
in the family.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but it just made sense to me. And I really excelled at chiropractic school because I loved it. And then.
You graduated magna cum laude.
Yeah, I did, which was funny because I had friends from undergraduate school that came to graduate with me. I mean, to my graduation. And so we're at like an after graduation party and they're talking to some of my friends, and my friends in chiropractic school thought that I must just sit home and study all the time because I got really good grades. And my friends from undergraduate school was like, you know, he doesn't study. Who are you talking about? You're totally different. Undergraduate versus graduate degree was a very different experience for me. But so then in chiropractic school, we knew we were coming back to Colorado, or we looked at Hawaii for a very short period of time.
Oh, really?
Cost of living was just so much as somebody in a large amount of school debt. We said, we're not moving to Hawaii. Okay. My wife's an only child, so we knew we were probably going to come back to Colorado.
Her family is from here?
Yep, they live in Westminster. So we see them a lot, which is great. My parents live in Castle Rock, too. But so we knew we were coming back. She was pregnant at the time, so I toyed with opening my own practice, but I was a little too scared to start my own business. So I started working for another chiropractor in Westminster for about almost 4 years before I opened this practice in 2009. So,
well, I'm so glad that you're here. And I do think, you know, there's a lot of people with the history of migraines where chiropractic work has helped. And we've got actually quite a few questions from people here in Colorado that have reached out and want to learn more about quite a few things. So I'm just going to kind of start with those and we'll expand out as we go.
That works.
So Gary in Woodland Park asked, you know, are chiropractors licensed professionals or do they need some kind of accreditation? He was thinking, you know, when I spoke to him, he was thinking that, oh, you just kind of go to school and you get a little certificate and off you go.
Yeah. And that honestly, there's a big misconception with it because I guess it's only about 10% of the population has been to a chiropractor. So it's understanding that there's a lot, people don't really understand a lot about that. It's getting bigger. It used to be, I think it was 7% when I was in school. But I guess the long answer is yes, that we do have an undergraduate degree, and then you have to have a doctorate degree. So my degree at chiropractic school was 30 credits a semester, 3 semesters a year. So I had more credits by the time I was 1.5 years in graduate school than I did undergraduate combined all 4 years. And you have to get taught way up here, you know, so we can practice a little bit lower. So we have to take pharmacology, even though we can't prescribe in any state.
But you have to know about it.
Yeah, we have to know, we take OBGYN classes, we take cadaver labs, you know, we had a 2-hour cadaver lab for 2 of those years, pretty much straight, you know, then, you know, we get into clinicals, not until our last year. We call it, like I said, trimesters, so probably the last 3 trimesters we start treating patients, but the rest of that is all book stuff, pretty much. So, yeah, so we get a doctorate of chiropractic degree is a doctorate.
I mean, it's intensive. It's very intense.
Now there's only a 4-year program. So you have to have an undergraduate degree and then it's 4 years of chiropractic school.
Okay.
To get that degree.
So Carla in Pueblo says, can you tell me about your treatment philosophy? And I think you've talked a little bit about that and, you know, you want to help people, but if you can explain a little bit about your particular chiropractic philosophy.
Sure. So one common denominator with chiropractors is, you know, we are all focused on the nervous system. So it's kind of a misconception again, that we're back doctors. I mean, we get to the back and we treat a lot of back problems, but we use the back as a pathway to the nervous system because, you know, brain, spinal cord, and then all the nerves come out of the spine to do whatever they're supposed to do. And our job is to check the spine for misalignment. Cause if there's any areas that are misaligned, it may cause pain, but only 7% of nerves are pain nerves. So a lot of time function can be irritated or things just aren't working like they should be. So not only trying to get patients out of pain, my job is to improve function and to kind of work with overall wellness. So my philosophy, I guess, and I want to do that as the easiest way I possibly can on the patient. So our technique is pretty gentle. Every chiropractic technique that I've seen works. You know, that's a beautiful thing about it. A lot of things, a lot of physical therapists have different techniques and they all work. It depends on the patient. The one that I use is just resonates with me, and it's a lot of, I guess it's a lot less invasive than some. So that's my philosophy is, and I used to, when I started, I only wanted to treat athletes because I thought, hey, I'll be the Broncos chiropractor at some point. That's what I really wanted to do. And then I had kids and I realized I love treating kids, you know? And so now I treat, as we talked about, the youngest I've treated is a day old, and the oldest I've treated so far, I think, is 89, and I've treated everything in between. And my goal is to help people feel better, but also stay better. I mean, most
How
of my
do
patients
you treat
are
a day old patient.
Sure. So honestly, with newborns, it's kind of funny. They do most of the work. So the mom or dad will usually hold the baby, and I'm not looking for trauma most of the time with a newborn. That being said, you know, even during what I call normal delivery, which, you know, all the moms out there know that's, you know, not easy. We're saying normal, is anywhere between 50 to 100 pounds of pressure on the neck. And so, and they're, I mean, for lack of a better term, there's a lot of rubber in their joints because they're mostly cartilage at that point. They haven't turned into bone yet, but they can still get out of alignment. And, the way that we and I adjust is I just use my fingertips basically. And if mom's got her on the baby on her chest, I'll just kind of palpate down. And when I find a spot that's out of alignment, I just use about enough force to make my fingertips turn white is all it really takes. And a lot of times when I say the baby does the work, when I find that spot, they'll arch into me and they'll actually move the bone, and I'm just kind of holding it, you know, and it's never a big force. It's always nice and easy. And honestly, it doesn't take long. And we've had a lot of babies that have come in and they're screaming and crying, you know, just like babies do. And we adjust them and they fall asleep. You know, so it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a pretty cool experience when it happens.
That's wonderful, because I don't think people often think about babies, you know, going to a chiropractor. My daughter did start with a chiropractor when she was four, almost 5 years of age. She was very tomboyish and athletic and climbing things and falling and twisting. And I knew that it had helped me. And, she ended up following through for her lifetime as well. It was very beneficial.
And there's a lot of things that can happen as kids, like if you like, you know, falling and things like on a bike or something, and, you know, you get up and mom and dad kisses the knee and they run back and get back into playing. But there's some misalignment that can happen from there that we don't see those effects until way later in life, because like we said, only 7% of those nerves are pain. And once those nerves get turned down, the body adapts to it. And sometimes it adapts incorrectly in the long run. So.
Jackie in Boulder wants to know, do adjustments hurt?
That's probably, and they shouldn't, honestly. And that being said, 90-something percent of the time, they will not hurt. Now, in my office, if a patient comes in and they were in a severe trauma, like a bad car accident, or fell down a bunch of steps or something, and the muscles are super tight, we're not going to try to push through that muscle to make things move. I don't do that anyway, you know. But that if it's already sore and somebody's, you know, pushing where it's sore, it might be a little bit sore, but it's not going to be painful, you know. So rarely should they hurt, honestly. Chiropractors are trained to use the body. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Dory.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I can attest to that. You know, when I first saw you, I was in extreme lower back pain. Mm-hmm. Having trouble just walking. Yep. And so the adjustment didn't hurt. It was just, I was already hurting.
Yes. And a lot of those muscles, especially, let's say, a low back condition, those muscles are spasming to try to hold that bone in place. And so I always tell patients, you know, they're looking for a fight right now. The muscles are looking because they're like, you know, so tense. So anything that you go to put pressure might make them sore, but I tell them it should feel like a good sore, like something good happened if it's sore, but it shouldn't be, this is worse than it was, you know. Very rarely the first one or two times, if the things are really, really tight, it may feel a little bit more sore, but we can always turn that down with ice. And after a couple of visits, it gets way better. So.
Angela in Superior says, what is that noise I hear during an adjustment, especially during neck cracking, which I don't like. I don't like it either.
So there's so many different chiropractic techniques. And the most common ones are called Gonstead. It's named after a doctor, Dr. Gonstead. Diversified means we do a lot of things, but it's actually a specific technique too. And those are a lot of traditional moving the neck, popping. You know, I call it the pretzel, where you put people on their side and you push on their back. And that they all work. There's a place and time for that. The popping sound when that happens is literally just bubbles escaping the joint. It's called cavitation, is the fancy Jeopardy term, in case you wanted to know. Cavitation. But it just releases the bubbles. The bubbles hit each other and it makes a pop sound. It really has no bearing on the adjustment. There is some patients, if they don't hear that, they don't think it moved, but really it's can be much more subtle. The way that I treat, I very rarely do the neck adjustment, as you'll see when I treat somebody here in a little bit, but it's much more gentle. And to tell you the truth, some patients are, when they're used to hearing that noise and they don't hear it, they're like, well, I don't think you did anything. And I always say, well, let me know how you feel tomorrow. And then they come back in and they say, I feel better, you know? So it's
there you go.
Less invasive, but there is, I do treat some patients that same way, because they want me to. And the doctors that do that still get great results too. It's just, there's tons of different techniques in chiropractic. It's been around long enough that, you know, everybody kind of has a spin on how they do it in a way.
So is there a name for the technique that you use, that you do in your office?
It's called gentle specific prone. So, which is funny because that says exactly what it is. We're gentle, we're specific, meaning we only want to move that one vertebrae that we're trying to adjust. We're not trying to get a whole lot of motion into it, which another thing with the neck adjustment, sometimes things that don't have to move will move and they'll release. And then you hear that pop and you feel better. But really what matters is that one bone that I need to move. And again, I want to stress move. I'm not trying to set the bone in place. I'm just trying to put movement into the bone. So it's not a big bone, traditional bone setting, which has been around for centuries, is really, really cranked on people to try to set like a dislocated shoulder or something. Right. I'm not doing anything like that. It's just trying to put movement into the joint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andrew Broomfield says, you know, do you guarantee satisfaction of results? And it, I guess I kind of said, well, what kind of results are you looking for?
So that, I was going to allude to that. So I wish I could say no matter what, everybody's going to do better. You know, the studies do show, though, honestly, that like a RAND study was published. I forget what year, but they did satisfaction results with chiropractors and excuse me, it showed a 92% satisfaction rate that were either extremely satisfied or satisfied with chiropractic treatment versus other treatment, like medication for back pain. It was back pain and neck pain, which we know we do more than that, but that was a big study for that. So, and I say in my office, I mean, there's a handful of patients that I have to refer out for surgery. There's a handful that I send to PT to help with what we're doing. There's some that we get hit a plateau and we're like, well, we're not where we're supposed to be. But I think that in our office, it's probably around the 90% success rate that patients feel better. And honestly, in our office, one thing we're really proud of is most of our patients that come in came in because they were referred by somebody else. And that's about 85 to 90%.
I was referred to you by somebody else.
Yeah. And we love that. And I think that's a testament, because if you're getting better, you're going to tell others. If you're not,
absolutely,
you probably won't.
So. Well, that's why I have you here today, because I just feel, you know, what you're doing has just worked so well. And I don't think enough people know enough about chiropractic work.
Yep.
Just in talking with them generally, a lot of them really have no idea about everything that's available.
That's true. I mean, my dad, actually, when I graduated chiropractic school, we'd go golfing and he'd be holding his shoulder. I'm like, Dad, do you want me to check you? No. You know, he didn't know what I was going to do to him. So it took about 3 or 4 years until I could even treat my own father with chiropractic. But now I see him quite often.
So, okay, good. Craig in Westminster asked, do you offer free consultations? And will I receive a treatment on my first visit?
So we do free consultations, and I think most chiropractors usually will. I don't want to speak for all of them, but we do. I think it's important to make sure it's a right fit for the patient and the doctor. Again, like if a patient came in to me and they were looking for a real forceful adjustment, this probably isn't the right spot for them. You know? So a consultation is a way to get to that. Also, we can gather a lot of information from a consultation to see if we can help. So we always do consultations, no charge here. And then treatment on the first visit, more than likely we do some form of treatment. So what I usually call my first visit, we do a relief treatment, because it depends on what the patient presents with. Sometimes they'll get a normal adjustment on their first visit. Sometimes it's just gentle stretching, or it's just nerve release, or I do a little acupuncture with this pen. But I try to do something to get them to feel a little bit better, at least on their first visit. But, you know, if we do a full exam, usually we have to correlate the x-rays. If we take x-rays, their history and everything that I found when I was doing the examination to put together what's really wrong.
So you're very detailed.
Yes. Yeah. And we're efficient. You know, that's one thing. It doesn't take very long at our office, as you know, but a lot goes into how we do that to make it so that we're getting to the core of what the problem is. We don't want to rush anything. We always say that, you know, that on their first visit, we tell every patient pretty much that each bone can move 14 different directions if you compound them.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And can affect over 300,000 nerves. So we're always careful. We never want to say, oh, I think this is it, and just go push it on it. You know, we try to take it pretty easy. So
Tom in Broomfield asked if you offer family plans. And I know, Tom, it's him, his wife, and they have three children, one in elementary school, one in middle school, and one in high school.
That's exciting. Yeah. We do. We treat a lot of families here. We love that. Like I said, my favorite thing, I love treating kids. I love treating adults too, honestly. But I love it. We have a lot of families that come in all at once. And we always work with finances. My lights are paid for enough that I don't need to collect every penny from every person, you know? So we just try to help as many as we can. And we have a couple families of six that we treat. And that's kind of funny when they're all in my office, because we adjust in this office with the door closed and patients are outside and they know I'm in here with somebody. But then when I open the door and like all these people come shuffling out, it's kind of funny. They're like, where did all those people come from? But we treat quite a few families here, and we always work with, you know, we do family plans for patients, and it's all
great
based on what the family needs. So we don't have a set like, oh, it's this much, because it really depends on every family's. We just make it work.
You're very personalized with your patients.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Patrick in Fair Places, do you take x-rays and are they always necessary? And I think, you know, you and I were talking a little bit before the show about what can happen when you take an x-ray and how you actually find different things. And I think sharing a little bit about that is very interesting.
Sure. So we take x-rays, I would say a majority of the time, but that's probably like 60 to 65%. So it's not 90%. We don't take them on real little kids unless we have to, you know, if I'm worried about, I won't go into all the stuff, but if like random knee pain on a patient, this has happened to us. I didn't tell you about this one, Dory, but a teenager had knee pain that just didn't seem right. And so we took an x-ray of the pelvis, which we had to convince the parents why, but a lot of things in teenagers, problems with the pelvis will manifest in the knee. It's just the way our bodies are built. And there's some things that can happen with the head of the femur. So like where the hip actually becomes your hip, if there's a problem there, and it's a pretty big problem, can actually cause knee pain. And so we take x-ray to rule that out, and we found it. And so they got the right treatment that they needed. Some chiropractors will take x-rays to do measurements. So the chiropractic, like I said, is a big envelope. And so, some people will take x-rays to do measurements of their spine how many millimeters are off and things like
that.
Yeah, I don't do that as much. You know, I mean, we do look at that, but I look at, you know, structure and function together. But like I think I was telling you, we did have a patient once that a couple of years ago came in with back pain, and we took x-rays on him because he had chronic pain that's been off and on, but it was worse lately. Just something that I was like, okay, that's usually a red flag. Took x-rays and we found, fortunately, we found cancer that he had been to the hospital, and they took x-rays there and they didn't find anything. And we took x-rays here and we found that cancer. And so he was from Mexico. We talked to him about it and said how he needed treatment. And he said, well, I'm going to go back home. So we went back to Mexico, and I didn't see him for a while, so I was worried, but he came back in about a year later just to say thank you. So he came to the front desk and just said thank you and then left, you know, honestly. So there is things that, you know, you can miss without taking them. We had a friend of mine sent me an x-ray last night, honestly, of a patient that he was treating, because he wanted my opinion on it too. And there was some things that was a teenager again, and the parents said, well, maybe we'll get her checked out. She's kind of got some achy pain. He took x-rays and he found some things in her ileum that needed like basically immediate medical attention. So it's like, you know, we take them because my hands can only see so much is the best way to put it. I know some patients don't like the radiation from an x-ray. You know, most chiropractors now, especially here, we use digital x-ray, and there's less radiation through the digital x-ray than there is getting on a plane. So it's, you know, and it takes a couple seconds, you know, old school x-ray, you had to press the button for a while. But it takes literally a couple seconds to get that x-ray to happen now. So
we actually have a caller who just called in with a question, doctor, and says, can a chiropractic treatment heal or solve an issue, or is it more important to treat symptoms and relief?
I guess for me, honestly, it's a little bit of both, because a patient will generally come in with pain, you know, not always, but about 80% of the time there's a patient that has a problem that we need to address. So I want to address that, but we want to find the root cause of it. And in chiropractic world, that root cause is usually when there's compression or not full blown compression, but irritation to the nerve. That innervates wherever that's going. So if we can realign those vertebrae or the joints in the wrist, knee, whatever it is, and realign them and get pressure off those nerves, the body can heal itself a lot faster. I mean, and I stress that because chiropractors don't heal anything, as just as no doctor heals anything. I always say that as an example. But if you have a broken collarbone and you don't do anything about it, it'll heal. It may heal with a big bump sticking up, you know, but if you go to the right orthopedist, they align it and it heals flat like nothing happened. But the orthopedist didn't heal it. The body healed it. So my job is to find those areas that are basically the communication between the brain and wherever that's going is broken down. And I just want to restore that so the body can do its job. So
Christine in Boulder, and we kind of touched on this, as you know, is chiropractic treatment appropriate for children? And another question is chiropractic care safe for pregnant women?
Yeah, that's great. And I would say definitely to both of those. And honestly, there's a whole board that I'm certified through is International Chiropractic Pediatric Association, which is a mouthful, but it's basically training just to treat pediatrics and pregnant women. There's a whole technique called the Webster technique that we use too, that Dr. Webster, a long time ago, you know, we're not that inventive. Everything's named after the guy who came up with it. But he figured out the connection basically between the sacrum and the uterus, that there's, if the sacrum's out of alignment, it can change the function of the uterus and change the shape of the uterus, and the baby can go breech that way. And so he became famous for turning breech babies, which really wasn't what we do. When we do that, we open up the pelvis and restore the normal alignment. The baby turns on its own because there's room there, you know? So we treat pregnant women every day in my office. Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly safe. Again, we have a special pillow we use.
Chiropractic treatment was when I was pregnant, and my hips just kept being out of alignment.
Especially towards the end of pregnancy, the hormones get released in the sacroiliac joints. They have to move, but sometimes they're like, well, I'll just slide back a little bit too much, you know? So we just restore it, and it's pretty easy, you know? And then, like we said, we're not looking to do a giant movement there. And we've had a couple of patients that actually were towards the end of their pregnancy, and there's certain techniques we can do to kind of help move things along a little bit too. So
that would have been nice.
Yeah.
I have another caller who just called in with a question, doctor, and says, can a chiropractor help with scoliosis? I have a 12-year-old girl with a 13-17% shift of the spine.
Mm-hmm. And scoliosis can help. I mean, a chiropractor can help with scoliosis at that age. You know, once everything's totally fused around 16 to 18, it's a lot harder. You know, I mean, you can help with the function of scoliosis, but not the total structure. There is some doctors who have. I mean, again, chiropractic's a big envelope. There's specific techniques that function. Their whole purpose is to fix scoliosis and curves in the spine. There's one called CBP, which is chiropractic biophysics. And it's basically engineering combined with chiropractic. And they really look at the curves in the spine, and their job is to restore what science says is a normal curve. And so scoliosis can always be helped. The younger, the better, honestly. Because 13 to 17% shift, it depends on how much of that looks like on an x-ray. Sometimes bracing would help too, but in PT, but chiropractic can definitely help.
Okay. And Olivia in Boulder actually asked, you know, what conditions do you treat? So it seems like there's a lot of different things that, you know, people seem to think chiropractic care is, I just go in and get my back adjusted, I get my neck adjusted. They don't realize all the different areas that you can actually treat.
And most patients like attribute low back pain sciatica to a chiropractor, because that's pretty common. I mean, there's studies that say almost everybody in their life will have one episode of debilitating low back pain, not debilitating, but bad enough that you need something to be done. We're known for that, but I mean, I treat a lot of vertigo in my office that wasn't helped elsewhere. Migraines, like you said, I treat a lot of that. I mean, there's some patients I have that have that reflux, they have like long-term reflux, and we can help with that because of the way the nerves innervate from the mid back to the muscles between the stomach and the esophagus. I have a couple patients with MS that I treat that obviously I'm not trying to cure their MS, but I'm trying to let them live a better life.
Better. Yeah.
I had a few patients in wheelchairs that I treat. We run the gamut, you know, the chiropractic textbooks have said over 2000 something conditions, but like we said, it's all about we care about the condition because that's what's bringing them in, but we're really trying to make the patient function and be as happy as they possibly can be. So we always try to get to the spine.
When you mentioned vertigo, Christopher in Durango says, can chiropractic care help with poor balance? And I asked him about that, and he was talking about vertigo. So
oh, yeah.
I've had that twice in my life.
It's not fun. We've had a handful of patients that have come in with somebody helping them because they're so off balance, you know. And
yes.
upper cervical spine can directly relate. There's also, I mean, if it's an inner ear thing, there's this technique that most chiropractors know to help balance right. the little crystals in the ear. But there's also some things we can do that just chiropractic-wise to make things stabilize. And I've seen that a lot. I have one patient who's been with me for 6 years, and she started with vertigo. She's never had an episode since we treated her the first time. Now she comes in just for maintenance, you know. And she's
I might have to add that to my session.
We can do that for
sure. I don't want to do that again.
It's not fun. No,
it's not fun. Kevin in Boulder says, how are appointments being handled during COVID?
That's a good question. So basically the way that we chiropractors were in the envelope of how we treat, the way DORA, which is the Department of Regulatory Agencies, they're like, they say do this and we say, okay, you know, they're the governing body. Basically, they basically lumped us in a little bit with dentists. So ever since COVID started, we've been wearing gloves. I mean, I have these beautiful purple gloves that we wear. We wear masks. So everybody wears a mask in our office. We wipe down our table with this incredibly strong bactericide, viralcide stuff in between each patient. And patients, if they're on the schedule and we know they're coming, they can usually come up, but we'll have them kind of maybe stop outside the door. But most patients will text us on their way and when they get to the parking lot, and they'll say, I'm here, can I come up? And we only allow a certain number of patients in our office at a time.
Okay.
And to be honest, they're kind of reduced some of those restrictions, but we're still keeping them for a while, you know.
Just to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's you know, it's a little easier. But appointments don't take very long in our offices, you know, Dory. It's once you've been a patient, we know what we're treating. We try to make it as easy for you as possible. We always have a saying in our office, our goal is to remove hurdles to care. So we want to get rid of all the stuff between the patient and getting the care that they need. So we try to make that as efficient as possible. So but patients call ahead of time. They check in from the outside. We only let a certain amount of patients in. You have to wear a mask. We wipe down every table. We have the chairs in our reception area. We have big signs that say, don't sit in this one. You can sit in that one. So we're socially distanced during that time too. So we're trying to do as best as we can.
Yeah, I've always felt very safe with your practices that you've done during COVID.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So Mario in Broomfield says, you know, can you explain the value of chiropractic care to somebody who knows nothing?
Yeah.
It's a new patient.
Yeah. And that happens a lot. We get a lot of patients that have been, like we said, only that 10%. So we see a lot of patients that have never been before. And we always tell them, you know, most of the time they are going to come in with a problem and we want to help with the problem. But my goal is to improve the function of the nervous system, basically remove any interference to that highway, if you will, you know, to make you so your whole body functions better. I mean, we always write these little things down on sticky notes. I don't know if you ever seen me do this story, but there's these little sticky notes that when a patient says something that's out of the ordinary, besides just, I mean, we like when they say, I feel better, obviously, be like, you know what? I've been coming. It doesn't shock us because we know that we're treating the whole body. Right. You know, but right. We write it down on these little sticky notes and we save them in a jar and we go over them at our monthly meetings.
Oh, you do?
We call them miracle moments. And I stole it from another
book. That's very cool.
Yeah, so we call them M&Ms here, you know, but we write that down, we put it in. And so in our meeting, we just pull those out. It's just to say, you know, we love treating back pain. We love treating all of that. But, our, you know, my goal is the overall function of a person. And so it's good to see those success stories as well. So, and research is getting there. And I'll share that at the end too. There's a whole website that goes over research and all these different categories. And many of them are not musculoskeletal. They're about other things. And there's a lot of research into that.
Let's take an opportunity to have you go through an adjustment and show people what you do.
Sure. I think I'm going to grab Jessica real quick.
Okay. Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, I can just, as Dr. Joel is getting ready, I could just say that I've noticed a change in my immune system that's gotten better since I've started seeing him about two and a half years ago. My physical balance has gotten better. I'll have to give you some things for your M&M jar. And it's, you know, it's been just a real change for me health-wise. So I feel very, very blessed to have found you.
Okay.
So why don't you explain now what you're going to be doing? Hi, nice to see you.
Hi, Lori.
So this is Jessica. She is our amazing office manager. She's been at this office now for almost 8 years.
Wow.
So I wouldn't be here without her. I'll say that.
For yeah.
Sure. So anyway, I treat her a few times a week, you know.
Okay.
So basically, we're just going to go through what a normal visit would look like for her.
Okay.
For an existing patient, after we treat them in here, they do some stuff in the other room that we'll talk about.
Okay. But
for her, we'll just go through the adjustment.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have her just lie face down. You okay if I talk a little bit more?
Yep.
So just to see what we're doing here, she always lays face down. Our table has a bump in it that contours with the spine, so it makes it easier for me to get to where I need to go. I always start palpating, even though I know usually what we're treating on her. We start, and it's just a gentle movement until we find she has a misalignment right by her shoulder blade here, and she's been having some pain in the front of her shoulder too from exercise and things, and it's right where the rib attaches to the vertebrae. There's, I call it a speed bump, but it's when the vertebrae moves away from that rib, the rib doesn't separate, but it kind of stretches and it pops up a little bit. So the adjustment is, all I'm doing is using my hands. This hand is just to pull the tissue away, and this hand's going to do the pressing.
Okay.
I just get on my toes. And you might have heard a thunk. That's, we have a wood subfloor. So the wood subfloor thunks a lot in this office. That's not her spine. And she also has a lower back vertebra right above her hips that we work on. So I just... And then like we said with the neck, we do not do that big rotational pop that some people are probably used to. So all I'm going to do... find this vertebrae, and this, she's stuck on the right side. So I'm going to rotate to neutral. And I just push down like that. Easy as that. We can sit her up. And the other thing that we do in our office, I'll show you here. This is a part of the acupuncture that we use. We have needles that we use sometimes, but this is an electric pen. It's microcurrent. You don't really feel it much, but acupuncture is kind of strange if you haven't it done, but there's really strong musculoskeletal points in the ear that we use that help calm down what we just worked on. And if she had anything else, like, you know, vertigo, or like we were talking about before, any reflux, there'd be specific points I treat with this because it puts out. It's still acupuncture, but the electricity from the pen is what's puncturing, not a needle.
Okay.
Perfect.
It's just that simple.
That. Yep. She is all done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Yes, and then you do have a table that I tend to go to after the adjustment that I lay on. Can you explain about that a little bit?
Sure. So it's called intersegmental traction. We call it the roller table here, because that kind of defines what it is a little bit. But a lot of people associate traction with long axis traction, which is like if you have a really bad herniated disc and they put the weights and they stretch you like that to try to help with the disc. This isn't like that. This is intersegmental. So the purpose of this is there's this roller machine. When you're on your back, it rolls up and down your spine and it takes each vertebrae and just kind of opens them up. And the purpose of doing that is it helps put fluid back in the disc. And we do it after. We used to do it before we treated, but we found to get better results when we do it after, because it helps kind of put the fluid back in what we just worked on.
Yeah,
and
it also hits at home.
Oh yeah, I know most people they want to bring it home all the time. And then it also rolls up and down. There's an acupuncture channel right across the spine where the rollers hit. It's called the bladder channel. It doesn't have anything to do with the bladder. If you know anything about acupuncture, very rarely does that channel treat that problem. It can, you know, but there's, you know, the names for the black kidney channel, stomach, they can help a lot of other things. So, but the bladder channel basically balances the whole body. And so the roller table hits those. Most people feel like it's like a massage. And like we said, most people want to bring it home. They love it. So,
yeah. Or it needs to be more than 2 minutes.
Yeah. We used to hunger on it.
Oh, I'd be asleep by then.
Well, and that has happened here, honestly, when we did that. But the facet joints, where the joints come together in the spine, if you roll them too much, they get irritated. It's almost too much of a good thing. So,
yeah, it's a wonderful addition to what you do.
Thank you.
Kristen in Durango wants to know, can chiropractic care strengthen the immune system?
It can, honestly. So the research is new in that, fairly new, meaning it's, well, I shouldn't say new, it's kind of lacking. There actually is, again, I'll tell you the website, it's called Chiro, as in chiro.org, and there's research on all sorts of things.
Okay.
But they did some studies. One of the most famous studies they did on some patients that were HIV/AIDS, and when they adjusted them, and then they tested immune cells in the body, and there was an increase in the immune cells in the body. they've done some other studies that have shown that certain parts of the immune system can increase after getting a chiropractic adjustment, but it's not the whole entire immune system. So much more work needs to be done. We'll say that the research, like I said, is lacking in a way, one, because of funding, and two, it's really hard to do. If you guys know anything about research, you know, you have to do a randomized controlled, and it's really hard to do what's called a sham adjustment. Cause like, you know, like in a simple terms, does this medicine work for this? You have to have a placebo, you know, where it's like the patient thinks they're getting the medicine, but it's a sugar pill.
Right.
And the adjustment, it's really hard to give a placebo adjustment because if your hands are touching the patient, you're delivering some sort of treatment, you know.
Right.
Again, they used to think that, well, if you did it when it didn't pop, then it was a placebo adjustment. Oh. But then they realized, no, there's so much more going on that it doesn't need to pop per se. So it's hard to design a trial where that's you want people think they're getting adjusted and they're not getting adjusted, but the research is there. It's promising. It is early, like I said, and I can't say chiropractic will cure things through the immune system, but it has been shown in some research to boost immune system function.
That's great. Anne in Broomfield says, you know, what can a chiropractor do that my regular physician can't do?
Okay. That's a good question. So the best way to I describe it is chiropractors are highly specialized in the adjustment. Medical doctors can adjust, and there is some, they can actually decide to go get certified in it, but they don't need to be certified. I mean, a medical doctor could adjust you if they wanted to. But you know, I forget what I had it yesterday. There was I think it was a doctor from Rice. I'll try to find the research, but basically said that in order for a medical doctor to get the adjustment hours of a chiropractor, as far as spinal adjustments go, would take 1600 class hours to match what a chiropractic goes through. Cause they don't get that. Even osteopaths, sometimes they get some manipulation, but it may be one class. Whereas, I mean, our whole focus, once we get to that final year, is all about adjusting. You know, that's what we learn. We just a lot more classes. That same reason my medical doctor can prescribe or do things that I can't, cause I only took one class on it. You know, I would never say, oh, I know enough to do that. It's just I'm not specialized.
You know, we've got a couple of questions that we've kind of answered some things, but, you know, what is the typical wait time for an appointment? What does a regular visit look like, you know, in your office? And I think you've kind of walked through that. I mean, I find when I come there, you know, it's very quick coming in. I don't wait. I mean, usually you're available right when I walk in. I don't think I've ever waited more than a minute. The adjustment happens and, you know, you're in and out in a very short amount of time, which is beneficial.
And the reason we do that is my undergrad's in sports medicine, like I said, and I used to do a lot more rehab with patients and a lot more other things where the visit would take 15 to 20 minutes. And there's a place for that. But I realized that most patients don't want to do that here. They want to get adjusted and do that elsewhere. So we refer out for a lot of those things. You know, we have a good relationship with a lot of physical therapists, massage therapists, acupuncturists, that we refer out for more in-depth techniques or treatments for that. I want to be really good at adjusting. And so that's what I focus on. So I really work on adjusting and refining that craft, doing that for the patient, and then telling them places they can do other things. We give them exercises at home and things to do. But not every chiropractor is different. You know, I have some good friends that spend 20 minutes with a patient because they do muscle release and they do a lot of stuff you know, I just try to focus on what needs to be treated and then move on.
So. Yep. I like that. You know, you've talked about how much experience that you've had and, you know, people have asked, is chiropractic treatment safe? And again, I think that's some of the old school thinking where people feel like, you know, if you come in and you get adjusted or something cracks, that something's wrong.
Yeah.
And they don't understand how safe it really is.
Yes. And there is some things I'm sure people have heard before that chiropractic can cause strokes. That was something that was out in it for a while. And
that was
mainly, you know, they did a bunch of research on all of those. And most of the time, if it's happened, like it's from the big adjustment that almost nobody does it that forceful anymore. If you look at old videos, it's a little scary sometimes. Oh, the founders were real forceful. We don't do that. But just like anything else, most of the time that if there was an injury or anything from chiropractic, that they've shown that most of the time the patient already had that problem and they came in with it. And then, you know, there was a problem afterwards, but very rare. I mean, they've shown that the side effects from chiropractic are 1/100th of a side effect from even just taking ibuprofen, you know what I mean? And then the side effects that they consider here, are like my muscles a little sore from my first treatment, but the side effects are almost non-existent. So,
Cheryl in Broomfield said, "What are the top three things I can do to get the best results as your patients? Once I start treatment with you?"
Sure. Yeah. So the number one, honestly, is stick to the treatment plan, which a lot of times. So the way that we do in our office is, depending on what the patient needs, we set up a plan. Like, we need to see you X number of times a week for some chiropractors will say for this many weeks. And then but it depends on how you respond in our office. And the reason being is, usually towards the beginning, not always, but usually towards the beginning, we have to see somebody a little bit more frequently because the body's so used to being where it is. And I'm saying, but we need to move somewhere else, so it's got to adapt to what I'm telling you. Just like braces on teeth, you know, go in and crank their hinges and the teeth say thank you and jump, they got to slowly move. And so with treatments, it's two steps forward, one step back. And once we get to a certain point, then we can reduce frequency and keep reducing frequency until you're coming in as you want to, pretty much. But it's very usually that beginning is the most important part, and it's hard. I mean, I know everybody has stuff to do, so we try to keep our appointments as efficient as possible is we try to make it so patients can come in and go at a faster rate. But that's number one, is talk with your doctor about treatment schedule. If you can't because of traveling or anything else, just communicate that, and we can come up with a plan usually to help fill in the gaps, things you can do at home.
Right? I'll be doing that.
Okay. Yep. Exactly. There's always stuff we can do to help supplement. Number two is, honestly, I think communication is huge. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't speak to their doctors as much as they should. It's a little different in chiropractic because we do touch patients all the time. So there's that barrier is a little bit dropped compared to, I wish I would have asked the doctor this or that. Communication is key. We need to know, not just how you're feeling every time necessarily, but, if there's any questions you have, please ask, because we need to know, and if we don't know the answer, we'll find it. You know what I mean? That's one thing as I always try to do. I've got a whole bunch of books on this bookshelf for a reason. If I need to look something up, I will do so for you. And three is, as you do the stuff you're supposed to do at home, that's what any doctor would tell you, do your homework. Because, a lot of times we have patients and we get to a certain point and they kind of hit a plateau in their improvement, and we're giving them stuff to do at home. Like I said, my undergrad's in personal training, so we do stuff for them to do at home. And if they're not doing those, it's going to be hard to break through that plateau. So.
So let's talk a little bit, as we're getting ready to wrap up here. Mm-hmm. Is chiropractic care covered by insurance or Medicare? What is a normal office cost?
Sure.
Financially, what is somebody looking at when they're starting chiropractic care?
Okay. So again, that varies depending on the chiropractor, but even if you Google this area, North Metro, the average chiropractic cost is $65. That's what our fee is, which is kind of funny. I didn't do that on purpose, but our fee is $65. We looked it up, and that's the average chiropractic visit cost. Now, there's always a sliding scale depending on what the patient needs, depending on insurance. That we can always work with finances, like we said. Most insurances do cover chiropractic to some degree. It's getting even better than it used to. Medicare loves chiropractic, honestly. They'll cover chiropractic up to a certain point.
Right.
They don't cover exams and x-rays, which is funny because they want you to have those.
Right.
But they don't cover those. They only treat the treatment part, which is other insurance will only cover the exam and x-ray, and they won't cover the treatment. But Medicare, honestly, was one of the first insurance companies to accept chiropractic as a valid treatment. So they just have restrictions on how many visits you get. Is
right.
The big thing. And a lot of insurance will do that. They'll say you get 10 or 20, or some say 60. It all depends on the insurance company. So it's a huge variation. But most insurance does cover chiropractic to some extent. Like we said, in our office, and most chiropractors are probably this way. I don't want to speak for all of them, but most chiropractors will make it work for the patient. Our goal, because we have we can treat patients so efficiently, and we just try to make it as easy as we can for the patient. So we never turn anybody away because of finances. It just doesn't happen.
Wonderful. Let's make sure that people know how to reach you. Where are you located? Your phone number, your website. How do they get in touch with you? How do they get in touch with Jessica to set some time up?
Yeah, perfect. So we have, I'm in Broomfield, Colorado. We're off 144th Avenue in between Zuni and Lowell. We're in the Broomfield Professional Campus, which is basically on the north side of the street. But we're about 2 miles west of I-25 on 144th Avenue. So our website is really inventive. It's lindemanchiropractic.com. But so it's my last name, LINDEMAN, and then chiropractic.com. I have videos on there of me adjusting.
Great.
And you can actually book appointments online too. It goes right into our system. So if it's on the weekend, and which is usually the case, somebody that needs to be seen, something happens, let's an armchair quarterback on Saturday, you know, something like that. If they log into the website and create an appointment, we can see them the next week, and it'll set up a time for them. And all the paperwork is electronic, so it'll send the paperwork to you. You can fill it out, send it back, and it's you get a PIN number so nobody else can see it. It's all HIPAA compliant. And usually we can see it the same day, too. I mean, our appointments are usually if you call in the morning, we can see it at some point that day for sure. Let's see what else. So website, like I said, Lindman Chiropractic. Our phone number is 303-469-2300.
Okay, and your days and hours?
So we're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 9:30 to 12:30 and then 3 to 6. And then Thursday, 9:30 to 12:30. So we're kind of 3.5 days on and 3.5 days off, if you will. I'm always doing stuff Thursday afternoon, and Friday is my family day. So we take Friday. Right. I usually come in Fridays sometimes for patients that need it.
And I really appreciate that.
Well, that's what I live. Luckily, I also live right across the street pretty much. I live about a half a mile from my door to this door, which is pretty nice. So we always try to make it accommodating, but our office hours are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, full day, and then half day Thursday.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I mean, covered a lot of information in a short period of time. I feel like there's just so much more. We might have to have you come back again. And
I would do it for sure.
Just continue to share. I think it's important for people to know you don't need to be afraid to go. It really can be a benefit. It's very cost feasible when you think overall how not getting treated can affect your health. And I think the benefits, you know, truly outweigh living in pain. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much for being
here. My pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate you.
And next week, we're going to have Trace Embry from Shepherd's Hill Academy be on our show. Shepherd's Hill Academy is a Christian nonprofit school who works with some challenging teens. And Trace is going to talk about how it all began. And he really has an interesting story to share. I think oftentimes people don't know what goes on behind the scenes when you're starting a school like Shepherd's Hill Academy. So I'll look forward to that. I am getting ready to take a little mini 5-day vacation, first one I've taken in 30 months. So I'm looking forward to it. So my saying this week is your sacred space is where you can find yourself again and again. And one of my sacred spaces is in the mountains near the water, just being peaceful and calm. And that's what I'm looking forward to for 5 days. So next week when I see you on Thursday, I'll have come back from that and I'll let you know how I feel. Take care, everyone. Find your sacred space this week. Spend some time. Take care of yourself. Be well. Many blessings. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.